welcome back to Pastor's Roundtable, and it's a special edition. It is the interns edition of Pastor's Roundtable, so welcome interns. Let's see, we've got Josh Adair, intern to biblical counseling. We've got Devin Coleman, intern to discipleship. We've got Ronnie Hull, intern to our seniors. Beck Oderson, intern to Derek. And Billy Pierce, intern to youth. Welcome to all five of you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So really just wanted to do a couple of questions for you. One, just how are you guys doing? I think the congregation has gotten used to seeing you guys around and helping out. And so I know I've gotten some emails asking, make sure you guys were okay. So that'll be great for them to hear your voice, and you can give people updates on your life, family's life. And then something that maybe the Lord has been teaching you through this season. Josh Adair, would you mind kicking us off?
I'd be glad to. Thanks so much for our congregation being concerned about our welfare. We miss being with you guys, and we miss seeing you around on Sundays. But as far as personally, I think my family and I was talking to my wife, Samantha, this morning about this, and thankfully I'm not blind to what's going on in our family because she feels the same. One of the things that Josh has taught me and his counseling training is giving us scaling is really helpful. So on a scale 1 to 10, we probably on a good day, like a 5 to 6 out of 10, because, you know, all of that's within the context of a pandemic. On a hard day, it's going to be lower. But, you know, I think we're feeling the stresses that all of our working families are feeling, especially in the context of when your children are out of school and they need your guidance and support and comfort, and their routine has been totally upended. It's been a challenge for us to figure out how do we balance our responsibilities to love our families well in the midst of that. But it's also been really sweet to enjoy time together as a family that we wouldn't normally get. One of the things that started at the beginning of this was I was really thankful that we didn't have to commute back and forth to RTS as much, which has really been nice to pick up some extra hours of life not in a car. One of the I guess other unseen blessings of this pandemic. As far as what the Lord has been teaching me, I would say that one of the things that has been a real comfort to me is the classic doctrine of God's sovereign care. I've been really comforted as I've studied God's word recently to remember that our King, Lord Jesus, is the one who came to set up his kingdom, and the victory that he's accomplished in that has been phenomenally powerful. Nothing can stop that from advancing. And even in light of not being together with God's people and seeing the way that God's people are encouraged by being together corporately, just the power of God's word to sustain and nourish God's people. I felt personally that in my personal times, even though we've not been able to be together corporately, it's been a really sweet time of fellowship with the Lord, and that the word is so powerful to be able to overcome my weaknesses, to continue to expose my sin and my need for being made more like Jesus, and to continue to even point out some areas where when you're not in a pandemic, it's easy to brush off, but to push into your heart and to make you realize, oh, those are actually character flaws that you need to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So I was talking with Beck before we got on. One of the things I've realized is just where it's easy to personally just say, oh, balance is hard. I'm in seminary. I'm a dad. I'm doing all these things. Balance also rests on a lot of self-responsibility that I just am trusting the Lord to grow in personally in this time with. So I'm thankful that his word is showing me that, and that his sovereign care is powerful even when I'm not with his people.
Amen to that. You know, and really his sovereignty is, I think, the key both to our feeling of safety in the midst of something that we can't control and in the energizing of our change, that he's using this to bring about the good in his people. Mm-hmm. Okay, how about you, Devin?
Yeah, so things have been actually going pretty well with me and the family. As you know, I stay with my sister and my brother-in-law, and my newly born nephew, who's almost coming up on a year now. So I have been around my family for a while now. it's one of those things where it's sweet. And like Adair says, you know, just getting to spend time with my nephew that much. It's just been actually, it's been really nice. Thankfully, thank God, nobody, I think, in my immediate family has been affected by this in such a way, which, that's just been extremely life altering. Like nothing's been that bad, which has been nice. Parents are all healthy. We're healthy. So thank God for that. As far as something that I think the Lord has been teaching me in this time, I'd say very simple. It's just to wait on Him. That's what He's been teaching me, to wait on Him. Squires, I think I mentioned it to you, last week or maybe the week before that, just in my devotional life, doing some reading and studying the scripture. Sometimes it just seems like you're just reading dead words on a page. And it just, on top of this, having to wait to be back in the sanctuary and worshiping with God's people. It just seems like, when is it going to come to an end? When am I going to actually start feeling the Lord's presence? And it's just been a really simple answer. Wait on Him. And he's actually showed up in these past few days, in a way that I haven't really, you know, had in a long time. So that's been really nice. It's really true, you know, what that passage says in Isaiah, wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord, shall renew their strength. And He really has been renewing my strength. So that's been great. Kind of like how, you know, the old folks used to say, at least in my church growing up, you know, He may not come when you want Him, but He's always on time. And God's really been showing me that, you know, so.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think Derek was the first one who said it, though I've heard it from a number of people since, which is, you know, God has three answers, yes, no, and wait. And wait is the hardest of those answers.
Amen.
Okay, Ronnie, how about you?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. We've got a five-month-old little Ronald, so it's been a lot of fun to be home with him and get to see him change, even in a day, changing a lot. Yesterday, I saw him grab toys while he was having tummy time, and I'd never seen him grab toys like that before. It kind of blew my mind.
Tummy time, yes.
So it's been a lot of fun being home. At this special time in his age. So we're doing pretty well. Fortunately, our God is faithful. Even when we don't fully trust Him, He's still faithful. And, you know, Laura and I are doing really well. And that kind of relates to something the Lord has been, reminding me of and teaching me in this time. Laura and I don't know if we're going to be missionaries or rural church or where we're going to be in a couple of years or less, but I've been reminded that I really enjoy being with my family. And I think that helps in case, you know, we are somewhere rural and we end up just being maybe feeling a little more isolated, that it's not going to kill us. Or if we end up being missionaries in a place where we can only afford a small apartment, that we enjoy each other's company. So that's been a sweet reminder from my God.
Yeah, He uses times like this to prepare us for all kinds of good works in the future, that's for sure. And some of those things are, just like you said, being able to establish the fact that He will allow us to go wherever He calls us and give us and equip us everything we need to be there and to do the work that He's given us to do, even when it's hard at some times. And these, you know, little bitty windows into what that could be help prepare you for that, which is awesome. Okay, Beck, how about you?
Yeah, thanks, Josh. I'm doing well. I'm really doing better than I deserve. I'm healthy. I haven't gotten sick. My family's well. My family's spread out over North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia. So we haven't seen each other, but we have kept up over Zoom and over the phone. And as far as I know, everybody's doing well, which is a praise, and thank the Lord that he's protected us in that way. I am ready to be back, though. I miss seeing everybody at Wednesday in the afternoon for lunch and for prayer time at night and on Sundays. But I have been really, really encouraged by the Wednesday night prayer. I've been a part of two groups over the month, and it's blown me away. And I'm so thankful for our church family. And so I'm really doing better than I deserve by God's grace. As far as something I've I've been learning. You know, I was talking to a mentor, I guess this was a week and a half ago, and I was just asking him, man, what do you do? Like, what do I do in this time? And he said, well, Beck, you need to read Romans. It's what you need to do. And I thought to myself, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that. And so I did. And I've been meditating on Romans 5:3 this week, where Paul says suffering produces endurance. Suffering produces endurance. And then later in Romans 15:5, Paul describes God as the God of endurance and encouragement. And, you know, at this time, I really feel like my number one prayer is for endurance, just to endure. God, just get me through to the next prayer meeting, to the next Zoom Bible study. Get me through until we can be together again. And this kind of thing produces endurance. And I know it can, because my God is a God of endurance and encouragement. And that's just been really sweet. It's been both convicting and comforting for my soul. And I mean, praise God for the book of Romans.
Amen. And is there ever a bad time to read the book of Romans?
There really isn't.
There really
isn't. I think
isn't.
We always just need to read Romans.
Romans, yeah. You know, and I think I've said this more times in the past 6 weeks than I have really maybe in the past 3 years, which is when talking about that exact verse, Romans 5, that it is suffering that ultimately leads down that chain to hope. Oftentimes, and of course, this is where the health and wealth gospel gets it all wrong. They think that it is by getting stuff. It's by thriving that hope is given to you. And really, that all that is put your expectations on the worldly. It is in suffering and God meeting you in your suffering and showing you that he's still sovereign, he's still good, he still loves you, that you get a hope that the next time you go through a season of suffering, it reminds you, and that hope doesn't die, right? How much I wish sometimes that it would be like, well, hope comes from being given a lot of good stuff, right? But it's not. It's suffering that ultimately yields hope. Okay, Billy, how about you? How you doing, brother?
Thanks, Josh. Overall, I would say I'm doing fairly well. There are definitely some days where I wake up and I can't really explain it, but I just feel a little sad, maybe a little down. But overall, I think it's been a challenging season, but overall a good season. I've been doing well here in Columbia. My family up in Spartanburg, they've been, by God's grace, they've been doing well. There's been a few family members who have had surgeries or some outpatient procedures, but the Lord has protected them, and they've, since they've been in the hospital, they've stayed safe from this virus. And my older sister's a nurse, and she had a little bit of a COVID scare with a patient of hers who had it, but thankfully she came back negative on this test. So overall, my family's doing well. Since I've been here in Columbia and there's no sports, I've been forced to be creative with creating sports. So I've been going on a lot of walks and trying to listen through all the way through some of my favorite albums of music from any of the decades. But then also got some plastic golf balls. So I've been working on chipping in my front yard, and the plastic golf balls help me to not break my neighbor's windows when I have an errant hit.
So the Lord is teaching you how to chip and putt better.
Yes. I'm attempting to learn how to chip and putt better, although I don't think it'll be very successful and transfer over well to an actual golf course. But I've graduated from a Coke can to some plastic golf balls. So we're just going up and up.
Congratulations.
thank you. As far as what the Lord has been teaching me through this time, it's really been, a reminder of how weak of a sinner I truly am. And it's been a good way at exposing sin and idols in my life that it's easy for me to fall captive to. The way that I love my own personal comfort and the idol, or at least the illusion of the idol of control, and really been a time where I've been exposed to how much I desire to have a grasp of control over my life, and how much I desire comfort, like being able to go where I want, when I want, and being able to watch sports when I want, where I want. So it's been a good teaching time in my sanctification, just to see these idols and see these things that I'm putting before the Lord, and see, you know, just how quickly I can start to crumble when I have these idols taken away. And it's been a time where I've really been forced to lean in the Word, to read the Psalms, and to go before the Lord in prayer. And so I'd say overall for this time, it's just been a way the Lord has grown me in my sanctification, a way the Holy Spirit has, you know, just convicted me of personal sin. And then getting to have more time in the Word. The Psalms just seem so sweet. I can't really read through a Psalm and be like, man, that doesn't apply to this situation. Mm. From the Psalms of Ascent to even the depressing Psalm, it has really been a sweet time to be able to read through those and to journal through those and to have just the time throughout the day to be able to do that.
Amen. You know, and praise the Lord that he tells us that he doesn't use strong vessels, he uses weak vessels. Because I don't know what I would do. I would certainly feel completely disqualified from ministry if I thought that I somehow had to be strong for Jesus. I had to be one of the elite of whatever in order to be employed for him. But instead, he uses those who are weak and those who the world would see as foolish, and he employs us for his kingdom. Any other last thoughts from the interns?
We miss our church family, and we want to help you guys any way we can. So if we can, please reach out any way possible.
Thank you, Ronnie. That's great. Well, seeing no other comments, Adair, not only does your last name start the role, but you are a senior intern, so would you mind closing us in prayer?
Not at all. It would be my joy. Heavenly Father, overwhelmed again by your work among your people, as I've heard a tale from my fellow interns and my brothers in the faith, of just the encouragement that you by your Spirit never cease to give us. Lord, thank you that you do not leave us alone in times where we feel our need most greatly, but you come to us and you minister the hope of your word to us by your Spirit, and you point us to the gospel truths that are so precious, and you even help us to love them afresh in new ways as we think about your Spirit. And Father, as we think about our church family who also needs that encouragement now, and Lord, especially as we enter into this new season of our pandemic, of seeing it continue on when this may not have been how long we thought it would go. Father, we ask first that you would end this pandemic, that you would bring us back together as a church family, that we might be able to worship you together corporately. We also pray, Lord, that in the meantime, you would not let us as your people be discouraged in pursuing you. Would you by your Spirit work to draw us and woo our hearts afresh back to you, to comfort us with the care and the counsel of your Spirit and your truth that can be found in your word, and to point our hearts to our beautiful Savior who has not left us alone and is very much with us. We ask this in his name, and we pray that you would receive all glory, honor, and praise as a result of this time in our lives. And we thank you for your kindness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Josh. And thank you, interns, for joining us. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Be here.
Thank you.